Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. Have you ever seen or heard something that you can't explain out in the woods while camping, exploring, or just minding your everyday business? Well, these people claim they have. They also claim that these noises and things they've seen were Bigfoot. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it be a Bigfoot story or something else, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. Now, without further hesitation, let's go catch us a Bigfoot. I've only told this story to one of my friends. I've never thought much of what I saw until afterward, when thinking about certain parts of my experience that couldn't be explained. So I told my best friend about my experience, and he said that I likely saw a Bigfoot. We both had a good laugh about it. Now, let me explain to you a little bit about myself. I grew up hunting in the Blue Mountains in Oregon my entire life. I've seen every kind of animal that roams the forest there. From mountain lions and black bears to elk and deer, I'm very confident about being on my own in the woods. I've solo hiked, camped, and I've taken several trips to places like Bighorns in Wyoming. I enjoy getting away from the modern world as often as I can. What I'm getting at is that I do not fear to be alone in the mountains or the woods. In September of 2019, I traveled to Washington State for an archery hunt on the Washington side of the Blue Mountains. The tag I was carrying was for a buck deer. I wasn't camping in the mountains, but would drive to them around 2 a.m. every morning and 2 p.m. every evening. From 2 a.m., I'd hike up and hike down at around 9:30 a.m. In evenings, I'd hike up around 2 p.m. and be down about an hour after dark. From where I'd parked my truck, it was a 6-mile hike up the mountain to where I had set up a tree stand. 6 miles of hiking in the dark. I opened up my phone to look at the GPS to make sure I was traveling in the right direction. The first 4 days of this routine were pretty rough but amazing at the same time. Getting used to waking up early just to put your legs through hell is hard to become accustomed to, but the views when the sun would rise were worth the burn, and it's always amazing to see the wildlife roaming carefree at sunrise. On a hillside 600 yards away to the east, I would see a herd of elk briskly moving their way toward a draw. The deer would start moving in the field directly in front of me. I didn't have any bucks coming close enough to send an arrow, but it was nice seeing them interact without a clue of my presence. I saw a sow and 2 cubs one evening before I left the tree stand. It was a pretty great experience so far. The 5th day in the early morning is when I experienced something that at the time didn't seem all that weird, but recollecting my thoughts later, it is something I cannot explain. Following the same routine as the previous days, I got to the same place where I parked my truck at around 2 a.m. I made sure I had everything I would need in my day pack. Paracord, extra knife, batteries, flashlight, a bottle of water, a couple of granola bars, and a Ziploc bag with a lighter. I always figured it's better to have something and not need it than need something and not have it. I strapped the day pack on, grabbed my bow, checked my phone to make sure it was on silent and the screen was dimmed, and headed toward the stand. One thing hunters know is that when you are walking to your spot, you try your best to be quiet and not to use any light as to not spook any animals in the area, as well as choose a good route that doesn't cross main game trails, and make sure the wind is always in your favor. I was wearing the same hunting attire as I was the day before, and being it was 95 degrees during the day, the smell on my shirt was getting hard to hide. I used scent blocker spray, but it was time to wash my shirt when I got back after a morning hunt. Anyways, back to my hike up the mountain. It was overcast this morning, so the moon was hidden, which made trekking a little bit more difficult. My route wasn't too hard of a route to follow in the dark after you got past the initial field you cross. Then you get to a draw and follow that up until it splits. At the split, you take a left and follow the draw up. At the top of the draw, you go left one more time and down a small decline to where the stand is. I had all but memorized the feeling of the slants and angles under my boots, so it wasn't that difficult navigating. I had just reached the second split and stopped to catch my bearings and breath and to let my legs rest. As I'm standing there in the dark, I had a sudden urge to look to my right. It was more of the feeling of being watched than just an urge. I looked over and I see a dark spot about 10 yards away. I let my eyes adjust to it and realized that there was an animal standing there. I stood still and tried to focus as hard as I could, but being it was very dark and no moonlight was around, I just could not see much but a hazy scene. The definition of the animal slowly stood out in my eyes. It was on all fours just standing there. It wasn't making noise. It wasn't moving. Just standing there as frozen in time as I was. My first initial reaction when my eyes focused was that this thing was an elk. It was a big elk, so it must have been a bull. I couldn't be sure because it was dark, but nothing else could have been that size. It was too tall, and not thick enough to be one of the black bears I saw in the area. We both probably stood there for 5 minutes with no movement. Then it started slowly moving parallel to me, still about 10 yards away. Now I don't know if my eyes were playing tricks on me or not, but it looked like it stood up on 2 feet when it started to slowly move away. I stood there thinking, that's another hunter, not an elk. A tall hunter at that, but another hunter for sure. I was thinking to myself that no other hunter would be out this far where I am at 3:30 in the morning. Trying to figure out why another hunter would be here got me coming up with another reason for what I'm seeing. Maybe the elk turned and was walking directly away from me, so it looked like it was walking on 2 feet. Maybe it was too dark to see the front legs. Maybe I need rest and I'm too tired to be out here at 3 in the morning every day. I'm going to refer back to the beginning of my story where I stated that I didn't think anything of it at the time. At 3:30 a.m., when I saw this elk, hunter, or whatever it was, I logically just told myself that my eyes were playing with me, and that it was just an elk that stood up and was walking away. That's a logical way to explain it at the moment, anyway. That's why I didn't think much of it being weird. It was when I retold what happened to my friend that, in my mind, things started to be interesting. Second, the fact that I really did convince myself that it was a hunter walking is kind of concerning. Humans walk like no other animal on this planet, and I clearly told myself at that moment, after being startled, that it was a tall human walking, even though that it wasn't. The last thing that creeps me out is that there were no sounds in the forest. It was dead silent. The animal or whatever it was very slowly and very cautiously walking until my eyes could not see it anymore. I stood there for another 5 minutes trying to figure out what I saw, and then slowly moved on and left whatever the heck that was behind. I cannot explain this occurrence and do not want people thinking I'm crazy or that I'm some sort of Sasquatch believer, but I think that is what I saw. I can't explain it in any other way. I live somewhere in upstate Pennsylvania. McKean County, to give a generalization. Now, I have multiple stories that I could say, and since they're all short, I guess I might share them all. Well, this first incident happened a while back. I was no more than 10 or 11 years old, and this happened around midnight. I was trying to get to bed because of a science test I had the next day, and was trying to get to sleep. The house is extremely quiet, and if you wanted to, you could probably drop a pin on my kitchen floor and hear it across the house. Well, I'm laying in bed, and all of a sudden, I hear a voice quietly say, "Bryce," from outside of my room. This was at the point where I was still scared of the dark and slept with a nightlight and didn't close my door. I listened again, but nothing came for the rest of the night, and eventually, I fell back asleep. That's not the end of the story, though. The next day I was in my science class, taking my test. The room is again extremely quiet. I again hear, "Bryce," from the whispering voice from somewhere. I look up and look around. Everyone is busy doing their test and no one else seemed to hear it. The interesting part of the story is, though, that weekend I was at my grandma's house and I told her about it. She said my cousin had been hearing the same thing. I don't know if I was hearing things or if it was a ghost or something like that. This next story again happened when I was younger. I own 30 acres of land. Some of it has logging roads, and I'm a big fan of hiking and making forts out of stuff in the woods. So, it was a regular time for me to be outside and doing weird stuff in the woods. Well, I had just started my trek up the hill when I stopped to take a break. I sat down and laid my pellet rifle across my lap when I heard the screams of my sister and my brother. They were screaming my name. I screamed back for them, and there was no response. Now let me put into perspective where I was. I was above a dirt road, which was only a couple of hundred feet from my house. I could not see down the dirt road or up it either, so I had no idea if anyone was actually there or not. After screaming "what" a few more times with no response, I started moving downhill, when a sound stopped me in my tracks. Running. Not normal running. Fast-paced, heavy-footed running. My brother or sister would not be capable of doing this. Fear struck over me, for I could not see what was running up the dirt road. After a minute, the running stopped. I slowly made my way down the hill. I made it to my house. My mom was in the living room. She looked puzzled and asked why I looked so creeped out. I asked her who was calling my name, and they said they have no idea what I'm talking about. She said my sister and brother are in their rooms and haven't been outside. I'm not sure exactly what this was, but I have heard about the Card Creek Monster. It's essentially a Bigfoot-type creature that is really angry. Maybe you should look into it and maybe do a documentary about it sometime. Anyways, thank you for sharing my story. My name is Jonathan, and I'm going to tell you about my search for Bigfoot in the woods of Oregon. I and my friend Donnie have always been into the unexplained things and cryptids and such. Well, around where we live, there have always been people talking about Bigfoot sightings. Now, Donnie and I have always been intrigued by Bigfoot. Growing up, we always said we'd find proof of Bigfoot one day. All that said, we decided to take a vacation time, going to look for, well, you figured, Bigfoot. We thought, you never know, we might find something. Also, if we didn't, it'd be okay because hanging out with your best friend is always a good time. So, we set off with a strong sense of adventure and high hopes. The first day we didn't turn up much, but we had a wicked awesome stick fight and we shared some recreational goodness amongst one another. Full disclosure, we do indeed smoke weed, but unlike what Hollywood tells you, unless you lace that stuff with something special, you're getting some grade A amazing weed, you aren't going to trip balls. If anything, weed is relaxing. Anyway, the first day turned up nothing, but we were still happy and having a good time. Sometime around 5 in the morning, on the second day, we heard what sounded like... I guess I can't really tell you what it sounded like. It just woke us up, and for some reason, it made us excited. We were pretty certain we heard a Bigfoot call. We got some breakfast, packed our stuff up, and continued in the direction of the call. It was pretty sweet out in the woods and mountains and all. Oregon is a great place to stay out away from cities. Honestly, I could probably live out in these woods forever. Anyway, we tracked for most of the second day, talking about stuff. Who would win a fight between Superman and Goku, an age-old question I know, and what we would do if we were rich. It was good times, and Goku would win hands down, by the way. Day two came and went, and there still wasn't much to go on. We haven't heard anything or seen anything either. On day three, we were awoken at 3 a.m. to another call. It sounded like multiple Bigfoot outside. We thought this was pretty crazy, but also totally rad, as we didn't expect to hear this sort of stuff so quickly, if at all. We took our gear and continued our search, once again in the direction we heard the calls. This time we thought we found something. We saw a rather tall, hairy humanoid-looking creature, but we couldn't get a good angle, so we tried to move closer. As we moved in, this thing must have heard us because it darted off into the woods. It was fast. Like 1 second it was there, and the next it was not. We were a tad upset that we couldn't get the footage we were trying to get, but we thought it was all good and continued our search. I mean, we might have seen it with our own eyes, but what good is it if you can't get it on camera? Plus, we were a bit far away, so it was hard to say if it was for sure a Bigfoot. So, in that way, it was a bit of a bummer, but this vacation was turning up to be a lot of good times, and we couldn't be too bummed out by that. Long story short, it could have been the weed, but we were pretty chill about the whole situation. The next few days, there wasn't much to go on or to see. It was mostly a lot of walking and beginning to debate if we should just head back and go home or not. It was probably around a week out there that we made the decision to turn back. The vacation was nice and the scenery was great, but we weren't any closer to finding the proof we wanted for Bigfoot. Heading back was a long, kind of boring process. We were both tired and ready to get home, get a shower, and chill. We were kind of over everything at this point. That said, we did eventually make it back. When we got there, though, we realized our keys were missing to the car. This was the worst possible feeling, as we had no idea how we would get back home, and we just wanted some sleep. Still, we needed to search, so we left our stuff sitting next to the car. We weren't really worried about it being stolen, as there was nothing really valuable or that couldn't be replaced, and no one was around at the time. Heading deeper into the woods, we backtracked as much as possible, looking at the ground and trying to find our keys. I was beginning to feel kind of pissed when I heard the sound of jingling in the distance. It was pretty loud, as things were rather quiet, and it wasn't too far off. So we headed in the direction of the jangling, and that's when we saw something I'm still in disbelief about. We saw the creature from before. This time, much closer. Naturally, we didn't have our camera, but in that moment, I didn't really care. I'm positive I saw Bigfoot or a Bigfoot out there. It was jangling our keys like it was curious. I was pretty stoked as we approached. We stepped on a stick and the thing turned and looked at us. There was a brief pause and probably a bit of shock on all of our parts before the thing darted off into the woods, leaving the keys behind. I remember feeling really excited and extremely happy at that moment. Sure, we didn't get our undeniable proof for the world that Bigfoot exists, but we did get our personal proof for ourselves. I'm not really worried about people's beliefs nowadays. If you believe our story, awesome. If not, that's cool too, free country. We know what we saw, and I've never been so happy to have temporarily lost my car keys in my life. Along the line of Bigfoot activity I've encountered, I remember the scariest event that ever happened to me was in the summer of 2003, sometime before my 11th birthday. It was dark and my family had a cookout for dinner, and there was a hen shack that was located northwest of my aunt's house, while north, down a small stone step slope to my grandparents' house roughly 50 yards apart. Also, the pen had been abandoned for 4 years due to it getting broken into, and my uncle sworn he saw a humanoid hairy man running into the forest, which was 70 yards away, and had a horrid smell when the wind blew from where the creature ran. He said it smelled like a wet dog and a dead corpse and fecal matter. So, back to the story. He had a fire going in the front yard, and we live in a forested area in Oklahoma by the Ten Killer Lake area. We were singing along to the sound of the radio and playing some classic rock and roll. Around 9, we heard a bang on the shack, which was maybe 30 yards away, nearly out of range of the security light, so we all agreed it was a branch. There was 8 of us at the time, but I probably forgot to mention that my grandparents, 2 aunts, and 2 cousins, and my sister and I were all there. So we continued to enjoy the tunes and enjoy some snacks when more bangs started to become louder than the radio, and we all got up and my older aunt turned off the radio, and my youngest cousin ran to get a flashlight and his brother's .22 rifle. The banging lasted 3 minutes or so, and when it stopped, we all saw the most terrifying thing we've ever seen in our lives. There were red-looking eyes shining back, and the face was covered by its left arm before anyone could really catch a feature. The sound made next scared us all, except my grandpa, who had told me about these creatures. It was a loud howl that made everyone's chest vibrate, and we had to cover our ears, and the sound was so unrecognizable, it was terrifying. While the sound was blowing our ears out, my older cousin shot his gun in the air and it stopped and let out a long growl and started hitting the shack more. He then shot towards the shack, not to actually shoot it, but to let it be known we didn't want the trouble in our area. That thing ran towards the forest, and the vibrations that could be felt from this thing running was honestly so mind-blowing. I've never felt anything shake the earth like that before. We gathered everything that needed to be taken inside and took it in. After the fire was put out, we all had to separate to go back to both the houses. My older cousin washed as my grandparents and I hurried down the steps to go in. We all slept in the dining room with the couches blocking the doors, and made sure our room doors were locked. We did not hear anything for the rest of the night, but in the future, we are totally prepared for this to happen again. Well, this story I'm going to tell needs a little foundation. I was 15 years old when this happened. I am Native American, and I live in northern Nevada, in a rural area, so I grew up near animals and the outdoors. I was also a Boy Scout for many years, so I knew how to identify most of the Nevada and Idaho wildlife. But this story I'm going to tell just ruined the outdoors for me forever. Every time I go camping or hunting, I will think of this every time I smell garbage or a skunk. Well, when this happened, I was hunting with my brother, my 2 uncles, and my dad. We were going on a 3-night hunting trip where we were going to be camping, had rivers, valleys, canyons, cliffs, and forests. We were going to be camping on the edge of the woods in a valley. It was our annual campsite. In the valley, there was a river that had cut through the middle and ran into a natural lake that held all kinds of cool fish, like trout, bass, whitefish, and all kinds of other things. When we had nothing to do, we would spend our time swimming or fishing. The water was cool and clear and attracted a lot of wildlife. I once watched a mountain lion or a cub drink the water. It was super exhilarating. I heard all of these stories about mountain lion attacks and how aggressive they are, but in my opinion, they are timid and shy. It was the second evening, when we were sitting by the campfire joking and laughing, when we were punched in the face with a putrid odor. It smelled like a garbage dump on a warm day. That was sprayed by a skunk or something. Then, My uncle said in a scared and serious tone, "Let's go into the camper." I just did what he said and laid down and went to sleep. It must have been sometime around 1:30 in the morning when I awoke to the trailer rocking in that same putrid odor that we smelled earlier. I was confused at the rocking. At first, I thought it was a cow that was pushing its head up against the side of the trailer or something like that. Then I looked at my uncle's face, and it sent chills down my spine. I tried to go back to sleep when I heard footsteps on the roof of the camper. I needed to use the bathroom, so I grabbed my .22 250 and slowly opened the door and glanced around for a little bit. Then I took off for the side of the camper. When I stopped and looked at the roof, there was a black figure that was crouched down staring at me with red glowing eyes. I was scared to death, so I fired a round in the air to scare it off. It hopped off from the position it was in onto the ground and bolted for the tree line. When it got there, it looked back and let out the ugliest, most blood-curdling scream I have ever heard in my entire life. And I wish I would never hear that cry again. I still go hunting in those woods, but I've never went overnight or even remotely near that spot ever again. And I never plan on it. It was sometime around 8 or so in the evening when I had my encounter. This encounter happened back during 2013. I was 8 and had recently gone into foster care. I had a few encounters before this. One of these encounters was a possible hoax put on by some people at my summer camp. They made some fake tracks and threw some of my hot dog bait out into the woods to make it seem like it was gone. I also watched a lot of this show called Finding Bigfoot on Animal Planet when I was this age. That's aside from the point though, because that was just some background knowledge before I told my story. My birthday wasn't far away from when this story begins. I remember this sighting as if it happened yesterday. I have thought about this hundreds of times. I was over at a family friend's house for dinner and had to hang out when this happened. They live out in Gaston, Oregon, and have a hazelnut orchard. The trees in the orchard are about 10 to 15 feet tall, give or take. This will be somewhat important later on in the story. They had two boys that my brother and I were having a Nerf gun war with. Because of how big the grounds were, we could run around and hide in all kinds of places. My brother and I were standing by the back end of the house, and my brother noticed something strange down in the orchard. "Ryan," he said, a bit freaked out, "look." I followed his gaze and saw what he was staring at. There was a tall figure walking in between the trees, and it stopped close to the top of them. I would guess it was easily about 10 feet tall, maybe a little shorter, maybe a little taller. We stood there, and honestly, I began to panic. "It's Bigfoot," I shouted to my brother, who was trying to keep his cool. "Be quiet," he said. The Bigfoot seemingly paused for a moment before continuing on its way. It was probably going back up into the hills to hunt before returning to the valley the next day. That was my encounter. I've been criticized over my sighting, but I've had people fully believe my story. If you're ever in Gaston, Oregon, be on the lookout for a Bigfoot. Thanks for listening to these creepy and unexplainable Bigfoot encounters. I don't know about you guys, but if I ever run into one of these big hairy beasts, I'm gonna be going the other way. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a Bigfoot encounter or something else, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, and stories like yours to help keep this show going. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button, as it really does help me out a ton. If you're not aware, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller Scary Stories on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you listen to podcasts. If you're new to the Swamp, why not join us? Hit the subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video. I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp the way you do. I couldn't do this the way I do without you guys supporting me. Before I end this video, I would love to know how many of you made it to the end. So if you made it all the way to the end, answer this question for me. If you saw Bigfoot, what would you do? I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.